keep y'all too long tonight. The thing about my daughter, those songs that she sings, she wrote them herself. Amen. All the music, all the words, and she wrote them through just experience that she went through, either in our home, either her own personal Christian testimony, or just watching her family, or watching problems in the church, or seeing things happen in the church. So those songs, when she's singing those songs, that's why sometimes she'll cry. They have a lot of meaning for her, personal meaning. And that's one thing I really encourage young people, that if you're going to, look, I love the old time songs. But if you're going to sing them, find a song that means something to your heart. And if you ever write a song that means something to your heart. But please, if you're saved today, find a song that it may show the struggle, but also gives the victory. Too many of these contemporary songs, all you have is failure. That's all they sing about. I sinned today, but Lord forgave me. I sinned yesterday, but Lord keep forgiving me. And it's these new contemporary songs, a lot of it's just about worship. Because the church today has lost its militancy. There's no longer fighting a fight. It is just worshiping the world and putting God's name on it. And the thing is that especially for young people, there has to be another rank, another generation that'll take that cross and carry on. If you will, take your Bible, turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. Okay, amen. See the time here. Ezekiel chapter 22. Before I forget, thank you for all your hospitality, the food. Thank you for your kindness. It is like my brother, like what Stephen said, it is good to travel the country and find a church like yours. Amen. He is right. I am not the Oriental mindset. Amen. And I love Brother Kim. He's way smarter than me, more spiritual than me. We're just not the same type of person. Amen. We're just not. Amen. And but it's good to be able to get around brothers and sisters in Christ, hearing the good music, just a good spirit, just seeing a church with some standards, some convictions, some position. Amen. And the thing is that we need to carry that on. The church is not under attack. It is an onslaught of, and I've heard old time preachers say it, and there's a lot of truth to it. The world is moving to the Antichrist. This world is moving straight to worship sin incarnate, the devil sitting here on earth, and this world is preparing for it. The problem is that the world is slowly dragging the church with it. The church is keeping its distance, and we've heard it since he's been saved, since she's been saved. I've heard it since I've been saved, but it's just true. The church is keeping its distance, but it's still moving. And it has to come a time where a generation says stop. It's got to come a time where a generation says, I'm going to dig in. We're not going any further. Whatever we got to lose, whatever we have to sacrifice, well, wherever we got to come against, it just got to come a time that a generation of God's people just say, look, we have went too far with this, and we're not going any further. I want to say something here. And look, one of the things that I pray for is charity. This is why I'm telling you this. But I ask the Lord to give me the charity you want me to have, not the charity that's being preached. I'm sorry. Some of these guys are charity is compromised. Even in our circles. Well, that didn't go over too well either, amen. No, for real. And really the issue is, especially, I'm gonna say this with Japheth. Japheth is pragmatic, and Japheth thinks bigger is better. The more it grows, the more success it is. And that's true about Jacob. You say, I don't believe that. Buddy, I'll tell you this right now. You go to any of these preachers' conferences, you know the ones that are always preaching? It's the one with the bigger churches. time. If you go to a preacher's conference when they go teach you how to pastor a church, the ones they put in that pulpit every time are the ones that have the bigger churches. I've seen it where a younger preacher takes over a bigger church and they'll put him in that conference. And he's seen it. You say, well, he probably got a lot of wisdom. He may have, I don't know. But Jacob has this idea that bigger, larger is the success of the world. That's how Jacob is. Don't look at me like that. I'm telling you the honest truth. And the bigger they got it, if they got a King James Bible, look, let me make this thing clear, because some of you are so uptight right now, you're about to choke on what I'm just saying. I am not telling you. I have some good friends that have big churches, they're Bible believers, they're good men. But I am not going to say just because that church is large, they're doing everything right. And I'm not going to say if a church don't grow, they're doing everything wrong. But I promise you, you go to some of them schools, you hear them preach, that's how they say it. And what they say, it's charity. If you just show them love, if you show enough love, they'll get saved. If you show enough love, they won't leave your church. Am I lying? Because they're looking at me like I can't believe you said that. I mean, you'll get to these, and they'll tell you that. And I'll tell you, some of you young preachers, if you get under that type of preaching, it'll convict you that every time they walk out that door, you did something wrong. And you better realize that sometimes you did everything right. I told somebody in one of these meetings, did you ever just think they just like sin? Duh. Can you go to these meetings? They'd be like, we got to figure out what happened. Why did they leave, bless God? Why are they leaving the church? Why don't they stay? And I told him one time in that one of them meetings, I said, you ever just think, God forbid, they just got involved in something wicked and they weren't going to give it up. Yeah. And they're looking at me the way some of them look at me like, but that can't be. Because if you show them enough love, you'll never overcome their sin. Because where grace abounds, where sin abounds, grace is much more bound. So all you got to do, Miss Stevens, is show that lady enough love and she will repent. I tell you, she will repent. And it was when I walked out that door, it's because he preached too hard. He just don't have the love that he needs to keep him in the pulpit. And his son ain't no better. And y'all looking at me like I'm crazy.
Oh, then, save a time. In John chapter 6, I'll show it to you. I've probably already seen show it before to somebody. Probably seen it. Go to John chapter 6 here. In John chapter 6, I'll show you something here. In John chapter 6, I got to hurry it up because I ain't even got to preaching yet. I need to stop. John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, and looking at verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth the flesh, profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you which believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, who would betray him. And he said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come unto me instead of given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And I'm sure you've seen it before. That's John chapter 6, verse 66. That's 666. With 15 words, 15 is the number of death, written right there. And that was a very interesting thing. If you ever, for sake of time, if you ever go over there to Acts chapter 13, where you find Acts chapter 13, verse 13, is when Mark went back and walked no more with them. And God marked that as 13, 13. And what I'm trying to say is there's the spirit of the Antichrist. The Bible says that there's coming a falling away first, and then the man of sin will be revealed. And then there's a push, the spirit, the Bible said, the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And I think it's at 1 Timothy chapter 4 there. There's a spirit of the Antichrist that is pushing people away from Bible-believing Christianity. There's a spirit that's doing that. And if you're not careful, if you're focused on results, if you're focused on seeing results come and not more focused on just doing what God told you to do, what you do is you'll try to figure out how do we keep the crowds? Because the only way you see success is the people that's sitting in that pew. It's never the position you hold, the doctrine you keep, the spirit you have, the holiness that's inside your church, the sanctification that moves through the Spirit of God, through your people. All you'll be worried about is who ain't here and that they left. And what can we do to get them back? I told a lot of people one time, I said, I don't understand it. Last time I checked, we weren't Calvinists. I really get tired of people saying, man, if you had really no spirit of God, they'll get saved. How would you know they get saved? It's their choice. Yeah, the spirit of God, they'll come back. Well, how do you know it's their choice? And be honest with you, my church is starting to grow. That's not even the issue. The issue is that we need, and I told the Lord a long time ago, whatever it costs me, whatever it costs, I told my church a long time ago, look, our church, we take anybody and everybody. We take anybody from the street. We take anybody, people on drugs, people going through a time. I remember one time years ago, a young woman got saved and she had full-blown AIDS. And I didn't know she had AIDS at the time, but we was on visitation there and we came to this house. It was a young lady. Me at the time, one of the brethren in the church, she's not even in church anymore. We walked in there. We were on visitation, passing out tracts, and there was a young lady laying there on the couch. And I said, ma'am, can I pray for you? And she said, yeah. I said, well, ma'am, are you saved? She said, no. I said, ma'am, can I just pray for you? She said, yeah. And I began to pray for her. She grabbed my hand. She wouldn't let it go. Wouldn't let it go. And after I got done praying, she wouldn't let go of my hand, and she finally let it go. And I left. And I turned to that brother, and I said, something wrong here, and we got to pray. I went back to church on that Sunday morning, and I told the people in the church who about this young girl. I said, we need to pray for her. And that's when they told me, oh, man, she's got AIDS. She was a wicked girl. She pretty much sold her body to every man. And that was just vile. And I told my church, we need to start fasting and praying for that girl. I said, we just need to pray. And we begin to pray and fast and begin to pray for her. I don't know if it was the second time or third time I went back there, and I asked the family, can I just have a Bible study with you? And I sat down, and me and that same brother, we sat down together, and I began to have a little Bible study there. And then I asked the girl, I said, ma'am, if you die right now, where would you go? She said, I'll go to hell. I know I will. And I said, ma'am, with tears in my eyes, do you want to go? Do you want to go? She said, no, I don't. So, man, you can get saved right now. She said, I will. She bowed her head, and I led her through Romans Road there, showed her in the Bible what it is to be saved. She asked the Lord to save her soul. Amen. I know a prayer don't save you, but asking if you mean it will. And she asked God to save her. She got saved. I went back to that church. I told my church, I said, look, this girl, she's got AIDS, but she's got to go to church somewhere. And I said, and I cannot, and I will not make that decision for y'all. I said, y'all got to use the same bathroom, especially you ladies. Got to use the same bathroom she uses. I said, I'm not going to let her come to church and say you can't use a bathroom. I'm not going to let her come to church and say you can't drink our water. I said, see, she's got to be welcome as anybody else is being welcome. I said, I cannot make that decision for you. I'm not going to do that because you have to live with it just as much as I have to live with it. I said, so I'm going to let y'all decide. It's up to y'all. It's not up to me. I know what my decision is, but I'm not going to make a decision for y'all. That's not my place to do something like that because you have to live with it. Your kids have to live with it. So I just told him, I said, it's up to you. And everybody unanimously, except for one wicked lady, and she was just wicked anyway. We finally got rid of her anyway. We did. It took about, what, how many years? But she's gone now. I guess I shouldn't say that. That's not charitable, wasn't that? And every last one of them voted unanimously, Pastor, we want her to come to church. Now, the crazy part about it, she never came. She didn't. And months went by, maybe a year or so. Actually, a year did go by. And me and my wife was at the grocery store one time, and an older black woman came to me and said, you don't remember me, do you? I said, ma'am, no, I'm sorry. I do not remember people very well. I said, ma'am, I'm sorry, I do not remember you. And she said, last year you came to my house and prayed for my daughter and prayed with my daughter. He said, I don't know what you did, but something about her changed. And she's never been the same since. He said, she got joy when she shouldn't have joy. She said, even her symptoms, some of her symptoms disappeared. Her health even got a little bit better. She still had AIDS. But she said, even her health got better. She said, I don't know what you did, but thank you. I said, I didn't do anything, ma'am. She got saved. And the Lord did the rest. Amen. See, we'll take anybody, because that's our calling. That doesn't make us no different than anybody else. But even in the fact that we'll take anybody, there are some things that we just will not bend on. There's some things we ain't budging on. Some things we ain't moving on. But we'll love you with all the love we can get. But there's some things that just ain't going to happen here. And they know that. And I got people telling me, well, your church won't grow like that. Well, let it not grow. I've got young people. I got children. Like those children's up here singing. I got children that's in that church that we got to protect. If there's not a place that our children should go to that's a clean place, that's a godly place, that's a place where they can get hope, that's a place where they can get some convictions, a place where they can get some encouragement to do right. In a world where filth is running rampant, and fornication is pushed, and witchcraft is put on these children, and drug use is put on these children, there should be a place by the grace of God where they know what holiness is and sanctification is, where the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse all sin, but where the word of God can give strength and the word of God can give power. They should know a praying family and a praying church. Amen. That should be a church. Every church should be. I understand that churches are for sick people, but bless God, you should get better. Hospice is for the dead. The church is a hospital. That's where you heal. That ain't where you stay sick. Amen. Perpetually. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know if it's good because some are looking at me like they're mad. But I'm just telling you for real, seriously, what I'm saying is in this message, I got to get to it. Is that it's got to be a place at whatever cost that God says it, that the church takes a stand. It's got to be a place that people in your home, you take a stand. It's got to be a place where grandparents take a stand and parents take a stand. It's got to be a place where the deacon takes a stand with the pastor. The pastor takes a stand with the word of God. It's got to be a place where the ladies come together and take a stand against what's right, against what's evil, and stand with what's right. And if the church, a Bible-believing king, go to Ezekiel chapter 22. If a Bible-believing King James, independent Baptist church can't do that, then we're doomed. But it's got to be a place, where the church stands with their pastor, where the pastor stands with his Savior, and everybody stands with the word of God. Amen. To just say, we are with you, dear Lord, no matter what the cost. And that's why I want to encourage you here tonight. In Ezekiel chapter 22, can you just stand with me, and I'm going to read one verse. In Ezekiel chapter 22, and it will, I lied to you. I'm going to read a little bit more, but it ain't going to be that bad. I'm sorry. I did lie. Please forgive me.
In verse 23, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed. And ain't that like Minneapolis, Minnesota right now, amen? Oh, Coon Rapids, I swear, y'all got so many Coon streets in this place, I swear. I ain't never seen nothing like it. I would think y'all from the south. Coon this, Coon that. I'm like, good Lord, how many Coons y'all got? Y'all even got Coons here? How many of y'all seen a Coon lately? Because y'all claiming Coonhood. Just wondering. I don't know where that came from. I told you I'm not Gene Kim, amen. Where was I? I don't know what was that. Oh yeah, verse 24. Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed. And ain't that like Coon Rapids, Minnesota, amen. Or Minneapolis, Minnesota. Nor raised upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like the roaring lion to the prey. They have devoted the souls. They have taken the treasure. They have precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They, now listen, that's why, remember I said everything I said. And there's nothing wrong with having a big church, a King James Bible church, but here's the deal. They have not put difference between holy and profane. Neither have they shown the difference between unclean and clean. And that is the problem with a lot of churches. Like I said, I know some good churches that got nice size of church. They love God. They love the book. They've got standards. I'm not talking about them. But you cannot mark success on the size of anything. It must be what's coming across that pulpit. It must be the character of the people sitting in that pews. It must be the identification of the Holy Ghost of God, the fact that God's power is on those people. Unclean and clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and are profane among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. Her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord have not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Now look what he said. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, build a wall, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Will he be able to say that about Minnesota, Minneapolis, or Coon Rapids, Minnesota? Heavenly Father, Lord, I know, Lord, in my heart that I prayed and prayed and asked you to give me wisdom. Lord, I believe in my heart that this is what you told me to preach. But Lord, if you don't touch it, if you don't put your stamp, your Holy Spirit of God on this, it's not going to mean anything. So Lord, I need you now. Because these people need to hear from you. They don't need to hear from me. But Lord, I pray that when your return comes, that this church and other churches like Brother Peacock and Brother Welder and other churches around this country, Lord Jesus, Brother Burnett and Brother Andrew McAfee, Lord, some churches, Lord, that you can find standing for your word. Brother Walker and some other places, Lord, people that I love very dearly. And Lord, I pray for this church, and I pray that this message would kind of put a shot into these people. I cannot do it of my own volition. I pray it would encourage them. I pray it would just give them a little spark. I pray to help them to go a little bit further for thee and thee alone. And Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What I want to preach on is the God sought for a man that stand in the gap. And the thing about it is, like I said, if the Lord returns, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe next year, can he find someplace in Minneapolis, Minnesota, or Coon Rapids, or West Memphis, Arkansas, or from other churches around the country, can he find a Bible-believing wife, a Bible-believing husband, a Bible-believing preacher, a Bible-believing church member that would just say, I will take a stand and hold the line?
Because bottom line is, that's going to rub me so wrong. There are churches that are falling apart. There are churches, even they're standing together, they're losing standards. They're slipping by the wayside. They're going more out there to the world. And because the simple fact is that we're trying to appease the masses. Come on. Instead of trying to please the God that died for our sins. Come on. I understand. Let me explain something to you. I understand the ministry is about people. I really get tired of people telling me about people when they say people tell me, I can't believe you let your church members live with you. I can't believe you gave them a home when they didn't have a home and then you been moving your family. Well, because you preach hard on sin, you just don't love people. Because I was never in a movie with me. Come on, brother. I got quiet. I'm saying, I have people tell me that. They say, you preach hard on sin, you don't love the people. Because I do not believe that if somebody's on crack, or somebody's in fornication, or somebody's shacking up, that if I love them, my job is to keep my mouth shut. My job is to get in that pulpit and preach the fire out of their homes.
That's right. Come on, brother.
Amen. Sin does not bring love. Sin brings death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is the joy of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I understand you get somebody come in that door that just got saved. You don't go and start clean up their life. Let the Lord do that. Yeah. I get that. But they ought to have a place where they just don't feel comfortable living that wicked. That's right. They ought to have a place where they just kind of feel they love, but they just don't. There's just something about this. An itch they can't scratch. Something about that thing ought to convict. I'm just saying, don't ever let somebody tell you. He said, what's your problem? I've seen sin do too much. I've seen sin destroy too many lives. I've seen sin break up too many marriages. I've seen sin get to too many divorces. I've seen sin bring on too much teenage pregnancy. I've seen sin bring too many abusive marriages. I've seen sin bring about too much addiction. Where people can't stop doing what they're doing. I remember years ago, it was Don Green preaching. And he was preaching at a big old camp meeting. Back in the day, one of them sin-hating independent King James Bible-believing camp meetings. And Don Green was giving a testimony about a little girl in his church that got molested. And Don Green all of a sudden stopped. And he said, in this size, I know some of you in here. And it got real quiet. You could hear a pin drop. I'm just telling you, I've seen too many broken homes. Me and my wife had been up too many times with young people crying and weeping in their own pain. I've seen too many men broken and wore out. And bless God, whatever it costs, whatever it hurts, I desire to be a preacher that will take a stand against such wickedness. And bless God, I'm not changing nothing. And I hope by the grace of God, I mean, one time our church was really, really growing and starting to just do things. My son, Torn, came to me. I didn't say nothing. He just came to me and said, Dad, I watched you for 20-something years. See, you never changed. You kept the same convictions. Let me break this down to you. If you got a conviction that God didn't give you, you need to change that conviction. I ain't talking about that. Don't be hard-headed for somebody else's conviction. Don't be hard-headed for your conviction if God didn't give it to you. But he said, Dad, you never changed your convictions. You never changed your preaching. You just stayed the same no matter who left. And now the church is starting to grow. He said, thank you. He said, why? He just saw somebody take a stand. I mean, I'm just saying, God is, when God returns, will he find somebody that'll still say, I'm standing? And do yourself a favor. Don't go to your pastor and pound him back and say, Pastor, I'll stand with you because you'll be the next one leaving. And I see it every time, man. They come back, they sincere about it. I ain't going nowhere. They'll be gone. Don't say it. You just said in your heart that you will stand. You said in your heart that you ain't going nowhere. I'm going to give you three places. If the Lord gives me wisdom, I'm going to give you three places where you are, the basic place where you ought to stand, and then I'm done. I said the first place you ought to stand, in the ministry or the land or the home or the community God gave you. And right here, he said, I saw four men among them that should make up the hedge and stand the gap before me for the land that I should destroy not, and I found none. I don't care what God put you in the community. I don't care if God put you in his church. I don't care if God put you in Church of California. I'm just saying that you ought to stand where God put you. You ought to stand in your marriage. You ought to stand in your home. You ought to stand in your job. It should be a place. Everybody in this church, you have a ministry. Whether you know it or not, your neighborhood is your ministry. Your family is your ministry. Your children is your ministry. Your grandchildren is your ministry. You're sitting at pew is your ministry. And by God, you ought to make a decision that I will take a stand. Amen. I'll be in this church, sick, high level, no matter. I'm just going to sit here. I'm back sitting. I'm going to sit here. Amen. Like you ain't never came back sitting before. Come on. Amen. I don't know why people just think when they got problems, the first thing I knew, they stopped coming to church. I never understand that. You ever call them up and see the church wall? I got so many problems. I just can't come. So let me get this straight. The devil whooped you. Your flesh whooped you. The world whooped you. And your answer is, stay down. That's your answer to your beatdown. Stay down. So they can kick you some more. Now, like I said, look, I am not glorifying wicked violence. But one thing I learned from gang fighting, when you go down, you better get back up. Because they will kick you with steel-toed shoes. They will. The one thing I learned, that's what they tell you, buddy. When you get down, you get up there real quick and real fast in a hurry. I mean, you get back up. But when people kill me, everything is a mess. And bless God, my answer is, don't go to church. What did God do? No, it was the devil. He got me. So your answer is, don't go to church. I actually know I've been sick. And I've been sick. And I texted Belva's world, and I said, man, I need you to pray for me. I said, I've been sick, and I'm struggling with this thing here. I need you to pray. And he said, brother, I'll send an extra prayer for you. I said, thank you, sir. But you know what? I went to Walmart. You know, Walmart is every independent Bible-believing Baptist safe haven. Walmart is where you get all your supplies for the battle, except book supplies. You get your food from Walmart. You get your medicine from Walmart. I mean, everybody's got a Walmart. Now, I've been in so many areas they didn't have a Walmart, and I'm like, I'm about to die. Where's the nearest Walmart? Four hours away. Oh, this ain't going to work. So I went to Walmart. And I remembered, and all this sickness, I kind of forgot this. I went to Walmart, and I saw this guy, don't get offended, in a wheelchair with pink hair and wearing a dress. And I said, good God, what is that? Then I saw another guy with purple hair, with earrings this big, walking like this. And I really wanted to slap him, but charity would not let me do that. And I'm like, dear Lord, you know what? I've never seen a happy sodomite. I've never seen a punk rock happy girl. You ever see them girls wearing all black? I mean, dressed like it. You know what they mostly do? Boy, sin make you that miserable. I can't rob a guy just because of that. The people are miserable. So you know what I did? I said, bless God, the devil give me a fit. I need to pass out some tracks. I'm for real, I got a rule like that. When the devil gives you a fit, you ought to get fired up and go somewhere and somewhere just say, here, take this. Here, take this. Here, take this. Here, take this. Bless God, you give me a fit, I'm gonna give you a fit. I was told when you hit back. They hit me, I hit back. That's how we was raised. That's how we was taught. If the devil hits you, why don't you hit back sometimes? Instead of just sitting there laying down like, oh my God, I'm just so hurt. I'm just telling you, the first place you ought to stay in the community God sent you. Amen. The school you go to, the church you go to. I mean, you ain't got to stay in the limelight. You can walk in this church and just say, hey, brother, I love you. I just want to tell you I love you. Thank you. He thought I was going to hit him or something. He's looking at me like, what's this black guy doing? Don't worry about it, man. I mean, just walk in and just smile. Say, bro, it's good to have you here. Good to be here, preacher. You say, I've had a bad day. Who ain't had a bad day? Stop letting your bad day to control how you act all the time. Suck it up. I mean, just ask the Lord once in a while, Lord, help me to suck this up. Your smile might be the encouragement for that man and that lady or somebody else in his church. Your smile might be what makes them go a little bit further. Who was a prisoner? All the time. I know you have bad days. Hey, Brother Stephen. Sister. How you doing? I'm okay. Nothing's wrong. I understand. There are times when you're hurting, you might come to church hurt. There's nothing wrong with that. But bless God, there should be a ministry of smile, a ministry of love, a ministry of encouragement, a ministry of just saying, look, I just want to tell you I appreciate your testimony and how you just stick with it. I don't know your ministry, but you need to find one. Amen. But you need to stand in the ministry God gave you. I'll tell you another thing you need to stand in. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 here. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. The first one is the ministry God gave you in Ephesians chapter 6. Find your ministry. It might be ministry cleaning the bathrooms. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I ain't got no problem cleaning somebody's bathroom in the church. I ain't got no problem. I mean, it might be ministry of sweeping the floor. It might be ministry of prayer. But find your ministry and stick with it. Some of you young kids, keep singing. Seriously, keep playing instruments. Keep singing. Y'all sounded very beautiful. You ladies sounded beautiful. Them kids sounded great. Sing the devil out of this place. Sing the devil out of your wicked hearts. I mean, just keep singing. But find your ministry. I'll tell you another thing you ought to stand in. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and look at, start with verse 10. Find my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. They may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For he wrestles not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness of high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, and even they have within all to stand. I say, next thing you ought to stand in, you ought to stand in the conflict of your flesh. Can you say we wrestle not flesh and blood? I understand we wrestle not flesh and blood, but that sometimes that flesh and blood gets you. And everybody in this room, you got a battle with your flesh. And can I say something? Can I just say this right here? Some of you, stop playing with your phone so much.
That's good. Come on.
Yes. Amen. Look, don't act like you dumb. Because I'm being nice right now. Trust me when I tell you. I can get really detailish. And you don't want that. Trust me. Stop playing with your phones. I promise you, this happened to me. And on my church, I got to say, swipe it, no swipe it. That's what I say all the time. While people know, we get to playing with our phones, swipe it, no swipe it. Swipe it, no swipe it. Because, you know, you get the swiping. You know what I'm talking about. You get the swiping, and you get the swiping, especially on YouTube. And you get the swiping, and you get the swiping, and you get the swiping, and you get the, you know what they say? That YouTube shorts are designed to make you addicted. That's a proven scientific fact. That YouTube shorts are designed to make you addicted. And I got this saying, swiping, no swiping. I've been saying it for years. My church has just laughs at it every time I say it, and they be in tears. Well, I promise you, I did not know that on Dora Explorer, there was this monkey called Swipe It, No Swipe It. And one day, I was at a hotel preaching a meeting, and I had the TV on or something, and the thing came on. And I said, good God, I didn't know that. And I called my wife and said, did you know on Dora the Explorer, there's a monkey called Swipe It, No Swipe It? She said, yeah, we thought you knew that. Well, what? It's a fox. You saw how much I watched that mess. I don't know if it's a monkey and a fox. I can't tell. And I'm just saying, I mean, I'm serious. But you know what some of y'all problem is? You know you got a problem. You know you got a problem. But you let that phone call you in the middle of the night. When there's nobody else around. Some of you can't go to the bathroom without your phone. You quiet because you know I'm telling you the truth. And some of you keep playing with that thing. And you keep playing with that thing. And it takes you down a road where you don't even know what time it is by the time you get done. Or God forbid you watch something you know you ain't got no business watching. You better learn how to get a hold of God and get somewhere. Say, Lord, help me to stop. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go ahead and say this, and some of you acting funny right now. Pornography will take you down a road that you can't walk back from so easily. It'll give you an addiction that you can't get shaked so easily. And it'll turn you into something that you don't want to be. Trust me when I tell you. And it is killing our independent Baptist churches. Even preachers. It is killing us because we keep playing with stuff that our flesh can't handle. You watch stuff that your flesh can't handle. Listen to stuff that your flesh can't handle. Then you expect to come to him and say, you figure it out. Man, it got quiet. I promise I had all the plan. This would be a very uplifting message. I promise I did. But I'm just telling you the truth, church. You need to battle with the flesh that you struggle with. Some of you struggle with pride. Some of you struggle, you just can't shut up sometimes. Is that what you preaching right now? Yeah, I know I need to shut up. Don't worry, I'll be shut up in a minute. I got to shut up in a minute. What I'm saying is every last one of us, we got struggles, we got habits, we got problems, and you need to get a hold of God somewhere. In the privacy of your own home or at this altar, ain't nobody got to know the problem that you have, and you need to get a hold of God and beg God to help you. Because everybody in this room, you need to take a stand against your own wicked flesh. Everybody in this room, you got to take a stand. There comes a time when you got to tell your flesh, by God's grace, through God's strength, the history of the Lord, we ain't going no further. That blood is there to wipe away every sin and all sin. That blood is there to cleanse everything. Thank God for it. But there is something called a chastening of the Lord. And sometimes God will always forgive, but sometimes God will handle it another way. And you need to thank God for every mercy, every grace, every patience, every long suffering God puts on all of us. Amen. But bless God, there's some things you just need to stop. Amen. And when you fail, you say, well, Lord, like that preacher preaching, I'll preach 100 times. Keep short accounts. When you fail, don't wallow in it. A just man falls 7 times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall in the midst. When you do fall, my little church, I wish you sin not, but when you sin, you have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is propitiation for our sins. When you fall, you got the blood right there. You got a Savior that's ready to forgive. You got somebody to come to and say, Lord, help me with this problem, but Lord, I need some help right now, and bless God, I need a stand. Amen. I just need to take a stand. I don't care who you are. There comes a time. Sometimes you just take a stand against your temper.
You need to take a stand against laziness. You need to take a stand against melancholiness. You know, it won't hurt you to say something encouraging to somebody. You ever meet people that's automatically negative? What was the word for today? Well, something's going to happen. Man, I had a great time. Yeah, but the devil's going to show up. I'm just saying you got to take a stand against your own flesh. I don't know what your problem is with your flesh, but you know what your problem with your flesh. Young people, you need to learn how to walk that aisle pure. Walk that aisle clean. Amen. You should be determined to walk that aisle unclean and pure. Say, well, if I mess up in the past, clean yourself up, still walk that aisle clean. Amen. Can't worry about your past, but you can worry about your future. And young people, we need more young people that'll come down this aisle clean, that join the holy matrimony, that say, I'll wait for my husband, I'll wait for my wife. By the way, man, I hate people that do this. They get on the girl, don't say nothing to the men. You got to have a whore to mess with to be a whoremonger. You can't have one without the other. You ain't got no right to sow no oats. You ain't got no oats to sow. A young man should be just as clean as a young woman. A young man should want just as much purity as a young woman. I mean, I'm sick and tired of putting on a woman when they need godly, clean men that sit up there and say, I will stay clean. Amen. It don't matter about your past. You can clean yourself up. That blood will cleanse you. And that blood said you clean, you clean. But best God, you got to get to a place where I'll stay clean. I'm not going to mess up no more. When I do, God clean me back up because I wanted to have something clean for my family. I'm almost done. Last one is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So what does it mean? You ought to stand for the ones that cannot stand at that moment. Ye who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. There are times in your life that you're going to be one that's strong and you ought to stand for somebody else. I do believe in charity. And I believe you ought to show as much charity as you can without compromising sin. And sometimes in the Christian walk, you'll see somebody in the church, somebody in your home, somebody just that can't stand. And you have to be the one that'll stand for them. You got to be. Because that is a true form of charity. Is when the one loses strength, the other one beats the strength in her by the help of the Holy Spirit of God. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. To comfort others as therewith as you were comforted. Because that's the Holy Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit of God comforts. The Holy Spirit of God does. I want to show you one last thing and I'm done. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. This last verse right here, I got to get to it. Chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Of whom be thou ware also, for we have greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthen me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will reserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, what happens when you take a stand? God will stand with you. You can't take a stand on your own. I can't take a stand on my own. Some of you, let's go rummage the road. You're battling with something. You don't have to embarrass yourself. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I love you. But I'm just here to tell you that if you take it serious about it, if you learn to kick it to the Lord and do what he tells you to do, God will help you stand against it. You might lose a couple of fights, but you won't lose the war. I don't know much, and I really don't. Don't know much Bible, really don't. But I do know a little bit about fighting. And one thing I've learned is that if you keep trying and you keep training, you might win a couple of battles. You won't lose them all. In this spiritual warfare that we're in, God's people need to put a little bit more fight, a little bit more fangs in their mouth, a little bit more edge on their sword. You don't have to be mean-spirited. You can love people and love them with all your heart, but you need to take a stand. Say, preacher, why do you preach the way you preach? The wages of sin is death. I've seen too much. I've had to counsel too much. I've had to pray through too much. I've seen too many broken homes. Too many preachers that fell by the wayside calling me up, talking about what they done did. I've cried too many times for preachers. And I've cried too many times for my church. And I've cried too many times over my own failures and sins. And by the God's grace, as long as he helps me, because I can't do it on my own. I'm just a frail, weakened man. But as long as he'll stand with me, as long as he'll give me strength when there is no strength to have, as long as he'll give me courage when fear overwhelms me, as long as he cleanses my sin when only the blood can do it, every time he tells me to get back up, by God's grace, I hope I always will. If I stand here a year from now, it's because of what he did. And when he comes back, I hope by God's grace, I'll be standing. Because he is worthy of us to stand. He died for you. He sealed you with his spirit. He shed his blood. He hung on that cross. His face was ripped apart. The cat and nine tails sunk into his body and tore his tissue and his bone, tore his muscles and tissue asunder. His blood flowed from his body. And he still said, daughters, weep not for me, but weep for your children. Yeah, right. For the days will come where your enemies will compass you. He still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He still said, this day you will be with me in paradise. He still said, it is finished. And because of that, I think everybody in this room, you ought to take a stand. Because one day you will face him and so will I. And he will show you the nail print hands. He will see what he's done for you on Calvary. And he's going to look you in the eye. And he's going to show you all your works as they burn up. As you sift through the ashes. What crown will come out? And all you have to do to get one is just stand. I don't know about you. People say, preacher, why do you cry? Because you don't know what he's done for me. You don't know all the sin he's forgiven. You don't know how many times he saved my life. You don't know the strength when I had none. The power when I was weak. The faith when I was scared. He's my friend. And I love him. He loves me way more than I'll ever love him. And I fell in love with that man over 30-something years ago. And even though I've never been a good friend, he's been a friend to me. So you forgive me if I cry. Forgive me if my heart breaks over sin. Forgive me when I think about Calvary. It hurts. Because all I can tell you is, he's the greatest person in all mankind. And I really believe he's worth standing for. Amen.